Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 6. That's not what I had in the bulletin, but that's what the Lord put on my heart to read with you this morning. Acts chapter 6 is the account where the first deacons were selected. And I've been preaching on unshackled, talking about addiction and so forth, but we're going to deal with a biblical deacon today because we're ordaining Jeff Hull today as our newest deacon in our church. So if you're got your place in God's Word, if you'll stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word. Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Cainan, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid hands on them. I love verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And reading that last verse makes me think, when we do things God's way, He honors that, He blesses that, He shows His favor. When we don't do things God's way, His hand is not in it. We want God's blessing on our lives. He won't, ordaining this deacon today very well could be a rich blessing to this church. It's very serious. And I want you to be much in prayer. So let's pray. Father, I pray for Jeff Hull and Crystal Hull today, Self and Clay, and ask you, Lord, that you would put your hand upon this family, Lord. I pray that you would ordain him into the ministry today as he's been called to be your servant. Father, I pray that you would anoint me now afresh and anew. Speak with me, through me, with clarity, truth, and authority. Thus saith the Lord. I pray for your divine enablement and your holy unction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So while we're talking about this today, don't think it don't affect you, because all three things I've got to say affects you. The ordination of a deacon is a meaningful act of Christian fellowship, which in essence says to the new deacon being ordained, we believe in you as a church and have confidence in your spiritual maturity. We will pray for you and give you our support as you minister in our church family. No special power nor authority results from the ordination of a deacon. One of the most difficult and rewarding jobs in the church is that of serving. I mean, if you do it right, serving as a deacon is not easy. One of the highest honors and opportunity a church can bestow upon a man is when he's asked to serve as a servant of God. It comes with a high price tag because, you see, it has awesome responsibility and accountability. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And if I'm holding this standard high today, it's because God holds it high in His Word. And so while 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives the qualifications, I want to talk more about today on a biblical deacon. Number one, he is to be a servant leader. He is to be a servant leader. Deacons are all about servant leadership. There are two components of servant leadership. The first is that of being a servant. The second is that of being a leader. Servant defines the timeless, changeless style and attitude that must be present in the life of a deacon. Leadership defines the responsibility. As believers, we're all called to be servants. When we assume the responsibility of motivating people to bring about purposeful change, we must do that as servant leaders. Servant leaders who serve but do not lead may be wonderful servants, but they are not servant leaders. In God's kingdom, leaders serve us best by leading us and lead us best by serving us. So what is servant leadership? Well, number one, I think it's all about humility. You see, only as we humble ourselves under His strong hand can we serve Him. If we try to do it in our strength and our flesh, we will fail. I have failed when I tried to do things in my strength or in my flesh. But you put yourself, any person here, you submit yourself unto God. The Bible says He loves the humble. He resists the proud. God resists you when you're proud and you're arrogant. He loves it when we humble ourselves. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. The word deacon means servant, which comes from the Greek word dekanos. It means to be active in stirring up the dust. I think about Jeff and Judgment House and how he's just stirring up the dust out here, trying to get us ready for Judgment House. A true servant, he's not just trying to fill a position. The word servant literally means stirring up the dust. Look it up for deacon. It means he's to stir up the dust. In other words, he's to be excited. He's to be, he's got his heart into this ministry. You see, boards don't serve. That's why I'm against deacon boards. They expect to be served. The word board is contrary to the word of God. Boards control. Boards never serve. The body of deacons serve. The church is the body of Christ, and we have no boards. There's no one who is to be in control of the church except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. And if I'm looking to the head, you're looking to the head, guess what? We're all going to be going in the same direction. Acts 6:1, the word ministration there is in the Greek, the noun there meaning service, and the Greek verb diakonos, serve, to use, is used in verse 2. Deacons can help or hinder the work. Deacons can be humble or they can be hard-hearted. Deacons can be holy or they can be hypocrites. It's a choice that we all make every day in our life. It's up to us. What kind of servant do you want to be? Well, the Bible says, and Jesus gave us the example. You see the picture there? That's servant leadership. He was washing the disciples' feet. God in flesh chose to wash the feet of his disciples. That's humility. The second word is honest. He says in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Most important, the more important, I think, than ever, do we need men of integrity. In Christian service and ministry, the only acceptable style and attitude of leadership is that of servant leader. A style which is not like Jesus Christ is not being a Christian. You see, that's what Jesus showed us. He showed us what servant leader was all about. And what an example he gave us. Amen? And think about what Jesus means to you. I mean, can you trust him? Well, sure you can. And certainly if God has called Jeff Hull, and if Jeff Hull will humble himself under the mighty hand of God, we're going to lay hands on Jeff and on Crystal today, setting them apart for this office. But if God's hand's not on him, he won't be a good deacon. It takes the hand of God. It takes a man who's humble, a man who's honest. And I got to give you this, because I believe God gave me this, the word heart. Is what a servant leader is. We must allow Jesus to define servant leadership. Everything he did was done in the style and attitude of being a servant leader. This includes washing the disciples' feet, as I said, but goes way beyond that. He always acted on behalf of and for the good of those he served. Oswald Chambers, who wrote the book Utmost for His Highest, he said, the true leader regards the welfare of others rather than his own comfort and prestige as a primary concern. Attitude is everything. If servanthood is merely a technique to advance yourself, you will fail. It's like trying to fake authenticity. Although many Christian leaders like to be seen as servant leaders, few want to be really servant leaders. They like the name, but they don't want to be treated as a servant. For this reason, servanthood must come from the heart, you see. We are called to lead in different arenas, in our homes and on our jobs and our ministries. If servant leadership is genuine, there must be a seamless garment of servant leadership in every area where leading and serving are required. Would your wife and children tag you as a servant leader? If your wife don't see you as a servant leader, then you probably won't be a good servant leader in the church. Because don't church start at home? Serving our wives, not always easy. Sherry had a lot going on this morning. She said, take this globe, put it in my class. I need 20 copies of this. No, that's not true. She was talking about all that she had to do coming to church today. She said, I got to meet with the praise team. I got to meet with the choir. I got to have 20 copies of this, 20 copies of that. And I got to have this globe over in my class. I said, honey, I'll take it and I'll do it. Now, I had a lot to do too. But you know what? We ought to look for ways we can serve our wives. Amen, man? Look for what? Instead of sitting there on the couch, bring me something to drink. You get up yourself, you lazy rascal, and get yourself something to drink. I heard all women say amen. I heard that amen from you ladies. Really, who says that the man is supposed to, I'm the head of this house? You no. If you are the head of the house, then you're the servant leader. Right? I heard one man say, yep. I mean, really, we are called to serve. And I wish I had more time, but I got to be real quick today. He's not only need to be a servant leader, he needs to be spirit-led. Everybody say that with me. Spirit-led, full of the Holy Ghost. Last Sunday, I was preaching at this church, and this elderly man walked out the door. He said, man, I've been waiting to hear a sermon for that for 40 years in this church. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, our church is known to quench and grieve the Spirit of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If we quench and if we grieve the Spirit of God, we're grieving the very life out of our church. Because without Him, we can do what? Nothing. We need to be a Spirit-led church. How does this look real quick? Well, number one, and this is the most important thing I think I got to say today from my heart to yours. Jeff Hole, I need you to be a prayer warrior. And I need everyone in this church to be prayer warriors. I was so thankful for Ganesh and Miss Amy this morning. Came to my office and they prayed with me. You know what prayer does? It puts a hedge of protection around you. This week, Sherry and I had the privilege to go up to the Cove at the Billy Graham Training Center. And I've been thinking about it so much this week. Everywhere I turned, I saw someone praying. And I remember helping Billy Graham years ago in his crusades. And the one in Charlotte, they required for us to meet together for 5 years before that crusade to pray. I was part of that, praying for 5 years for that crusade. You know why so many people come to Christ? It's not just because Billy Graham gets up and preaches the gospel. It's because people have been praying for 5 years, really. And I'm going to tell you something I thought. This was so heavy on me. I thought, why is it that the Spirit of God is so strong here? I could feel it as soon as you drive on that property. Why is it that God is here? It's all because of prayer. Billy and Ruth Graham, when they purchased that property to train others, over 1,000 acres, this is what was said. I guess it's true. I have no reason not to believe it. That they walked over every inch of it and prayed over it. I mean, before anything was built, I don't know how long the land, the land had been there from the beginning, but I don't know how long that he had had the land, but they prayed over that land before anything was built. And you know what? Just like those crusades were built on prayer, the Cove is built on prayer, and these people will continue that ministry. And here's the view I got. God's angels are guarding that they are guarding that property. You know, we're concerned about church safety today. Folks, if we'll get so full of the power in the presence of God in our churches, there ain't no devil, there ain't no demon, and there's no person who can walk through those doors and cause any harm because the power of God will hold them back. Amen. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't believe everything maybe that John Hagee preaches. I like hearing him. He's a strong preacher. But the truth be known that a man came to his church one Sunday morning and shot him. I'm telling you, pointed a gun right to the man while he was preaching, shot right between his eyes, and the bullet didn't hit him. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, I do. Charles Stanley, this is a true story because I heard him tell it, said while he was preaching one Sunday morning, a man walked up and slapped him during the sermon. You say, well, what did Charles Stanley do? He just kept preaching. That's the power of God, is it not? Now, he really got slapped. But Charles Stanley didn't do anything. I remember at the crusade in Charlotte, a crazy man ran out on the field because I was down on the field. I was a part of their counseling, and this crazy guy ran out and called Billy Graham a false prophet and a liar and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, I didn't know there were so many cops there. There was 50 cops. I mean, they came everywhere and grabbed this guy. While Billy Graham was preaching, and I'll never remember, Billy Graham stopped the crusade and said to the officers, we're not going to press any charges. God loves that man. Jesus died for him. I don't remember Billy Graham's sermon, but I remember him saying that. You see, that's the power of prayer. When God has His power on you, there is no demon, there's no devil, there's no one that can destroy you. Do you know you can't die in the will of God? Think about that for a minute. You're not going to die till God says so. You see what I'm saying? In His will, His perfect will, there is no one that can harm you if God says, you know what? I'm going to protect this. And God's got His hand on us more than you maybe realize. He says in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. That's what we're fixing to do for Jeff and Crystal. Stephen was a man who believed and in whose life the Spirit was at work. The Bible says he was full of the Spirit, means that the Spirit of God was producing the fruit of the Spirit in his life, love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. It also means that the Word of the Spirit is alive in you. You know and obey it. Jesus said in John 4:23 that God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Wisdom is more than knowledge. It is the right use of knowledge. And it said Stephen was a man of wisdom, that God's Spirit abided on. This was the first deacon now, the first deacon. It says in verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you something. I believe he was a man of prayer. I believe the first deacons were set aside to be prayer warriors, to pray in the Spirit. It is clear that there are many spirits lurking around God's church and people. We need the Spirit of God. We need men of God who are led by God. And I'll tell you, when that works, the church will flourish. When the pastor is Spirit-filled, when the deacons are Spirit-filled, the leaders are hearing from God, they know the direction God's leading the church, that's what we need, prayer warriors. Second of all, powerful witnesses. Every deacon should be a soul winner without excuse. You heard Marty's sermon last week. God the Holy Spirit is the power behind every witness or soul winner. He has promised it so. Let me read it to you. Luke 12:12. Are y'all listening? Say amen. A lot of people say, well, it's just not me. Well, you're right. It's not you. Listen to what God's Word says, Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. You don't have to do it. You make yourself available to God. Can God speak through you? Sure He can. God will speak through you. We need powerful witnesses called deacons. I'll tell you, a deacon that don't know how to lead a soul to Christ, he's not the servant God's called. I believe God calls man to lead others to Jesus, to lead them to a saving knowledge of Christ. I'm so thankful that mostly what we have helping us in Judgment House are deacons. I was thinking of all the deacons involved last night in Judgment House, and most all of them are in counseling or in the drama in some way. That's being a part of leading others to Christ. And then purposeful workers whom we may appoint over this business. I got to address this because a lot of people and a lot of churches have totally taken this out of context, thinking that the deacons are to be the businessmen of the church. That is not what that scripture is teaching whatsoever. The deacon's ministry was birthed out of a need. The business was the ministry to the widows. They were being neglected. And so the business the apostles were talking about was serving tables, not running the church, not being the church's bosses. And the reason God has never blessed that, because God didn't call deacons to be the church's bosses. God didn't call deacons to run the church. You say, well, how's the church going to run? I'll tell you how it's going to run. A Spirit-led church runs by the power of the Holy Spirit. He uses pastors. He's using deacons. He uses us all. But if we do things in our knowledge and our understanding, and I've had churches tell me this, well, the church is to be run like a business. No, it's not. It's to be run as the body of Christ. We're not a business. We're not a board. We are the body of Christ. We're not a building. This building over here, it's not about a building. It's about us, the body of Christ. We're the church, the people, not the building, not a business or nothing like that. Purposeful as workers. The task is what is important, not the title, Jeff. Deacons are the ones that do a lot of the heavy lifting in the church. This is the point of being a deacon. Deacons not only know how to serve, they want to serve, and they're good at it because they have they've understood that they've got to be Spirit-led. That's very important that I say that. That's why a lot of churches, listen to me carefully, are out of business because they thought they were a business. That just came hot off the throne, okay? I didn't write that one down. That's why they're out of business. It's not working. It's about like this pastor. He was deathly sick. He was dying. And all of his deacons, this was a big, large church, had about 50 deacons around him. They were all crying, "Pastor, you've been our pastor for all these years. How are we going to make it without you?" He looked up all at his deacons. They were all crying, weeping. He said, "Don't you shed no tears when I'm dead, because I'll be no deader then than you've been for years." There's a lot of dead deacons, and there's a lot of dead churches because they're not spirit-filled. If I operate only in my strength and my flesh, I'm a dead man. But if I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives life. Hello? You want to know why churches are dead? Because we try to do things in our strength, our way, in our knowledge. That's called a dead church. What is a living church? Well, the same one who got up from that grave lives in us. And because he lives, I live also. And the power of the Holy Spirit is what makes a church a church. Yeah. I mean, when they were praying in that upper room, the Holy Spirit came down upon those men. What were they doing, church? What were they doing? I didn't hear you, church. What were they doing? I heard one say it real loud. "Thank you, son. You're a preacher's son, aren't you? I thought you were." Praying. Much prayer is much power. Little prayer is little power. And no prayer is no power. And when they were praying, the Spirit of God came down and filled all that were in the room. The Pentecostals say, well, it was just the Pentecostals. The Baptists say it was just the Baptists. No, the Bible says it was all that were in the room. We need to be a Spirit-filled church. Because you can't do it in your spirit. You can't do it in your spirit. Your spirit is a selfish spirit by nature. Am I preaching it right? Yeah. We want to be served. But God's Spirit is a serving spirit. He's the servant leader. We're to be Spirit-led. And last thing I've done, and I made this one real short, but I think it's very important that I say this. Savior, sheep, and shepherd, lover. Jeff, I need you to love the Savior. I need you to love Jesus more than anything. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbors, you love yourself, love the sheep. Love every member of this church. They don't matter who they are, young, old, yellow, black, white, green, orange. We're going to love everybody. You know why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He loved the what? What did I say? He loved the what? And if he loved the world, we should love the world. Amen. We should love every person. You say, well, preacher, you mean we need to love the lost? Sure, we need to love lost people. And by the way, don't get disappointed when somebody comes here and don't act like you do. Lost people are supposed to act like lost people. You know, so don't get upset if somebody comes in here and they got their hat on backwards and they got chains hanging around their neck and earrings hanging down their ears down to their feet. You let someone come to this church just like they are, and God will clean them up. You say, well, what if he keeps that earring in his ear? Well, God still loves him. Amen? You know, I've been thinking about getting me one. No. That's just not me. I'm sorry. That won't happen. Leave that to her. But Savior, love the Savior, love the sheep, love the shepherd. Because you know what? If the shepherd and the sheep and the Savior can't work together, there can't be a church. It takes everybody working together. I can't be an effective pastor. I can't serve this church without these deacons. I need help. And look at me, and I'm trying to close this thing. I think I'm going to go ahead and shut her down. Without spirit-filled servant leadership, I'll fail you as a pastor. Because I can't do it all myself. Most rural churches expect the pastor to do everything. And when the pastor tries to do everything, he fails at everything. Because he can't do it all. Pastors are called to be pastors. Are y'all listening? Deacons are called to be deacons. Sheep are called to be sheep. The Savior, thank God, was called to be the Savior of the world. Amen? If we would just do what God's called us to do, the ministry of the work, praying is hard work, soul winning is hard work, taking care of the needs of people is hard work, ministry is work, but we do it because we love the Savior. But we are the ones who make this work hard and complicated because we're not Spirit-filled. So I got to say that again. We've got to rely upon God's power, His strength to do this work. It's a great work. The ministry to the widows. I'm telling you, it is an obligation. And I'm so thankful. I see some beautiful things happening here. I really do. I see a lot of our men, and I see a lot of our young men. Don was over here. Man, he was over here loving on Faye this morning. I thought, my gracious, they really love each other. And they do. Faye said, I love every minute of it. That is an obligation, Don, that you have. And along with every deacon of this, really every man of this church. The Bible says the man... Yes, married men are supposed to take care of the widows. Yeah. But primarily, that responsibility was given to the deacons. Yeah. So what does that look like? Well, if we would just do what Don was doing over here this morning, then God would honor and bless the whole church. Now, God's already blessed Don and already blessed Faye. But what if we did that to every widow and just took care of the widows, deacons? Well, then God would anoint the deacon ministry and you'd see that ministry flourish because you're doing what God said. You say, well, you mean, preacher, if we just took care of the widows, God will take care of all these things that needs to be taken care of the church? I am saying that. It's amazing what happens when we do what God tells us to do. Now, listen to me, church. Listen, I'm trying to make a valid point here. When I'm preaching and I'm doing what God called me to do, then it's going to take care of all these other things. You see, I can get focused on all the administrative things and all the things that stir me in the face every day. It's sort of like this. I got bills just like you do every day, and we deal with them. But you know what? Because we give back to God what is His, I told Sherry, I said, you know, every time I check and you know, I got a thing with the bank that sort of tells me when I'm getting low. So I've been getting these little things and I said, uh-oh. But God always fills it back up. I'm telling you, God will provide. You say, what's that got to do with ministering to widows? If we'll take care of the widows, God will take care of the church. I'm telling you, this ministry is valid. This was a need. It was a ministry that the apostles recognized that they couldn't do it all. And so they said, and you know, one of the favorite parts I like about this, you may miss this, but it says in verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. The whole church was pleased of this ministry of the widows. And then last, I'm done, the ministry of the word. So the apostles could do the ministry. It says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The deacons must love the Savior, the sheep enough to give the shepherd the needed time to pray and prepare for the ministry. And I'll tell you, it takes a whole lot more time than people realize. It takes a lot of time. The Bible says in Acts 6:7, and the word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because selecting deacons to do ministry allowed the pastor, the preacher, more time to minister the word of God. Not only were the widows being neglected, but people need ministering too. People need to see a ministry that is alive and real. Deacons are to be alive and real ministers. The Bible says in Timothy, it gives the qualifications of pastor. Then he says, likewise, the deacon. And so right now, it is my honor and privilege as we go into this invitation time to recognize that Jeff Hull, along with his dear wife, Crystal, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and by the authority committed to me as your pastor, I now declare you to be set apart and commissioned for the work of a deacon and duly called and installed to that ministry in this church. And I'm going to ask that you make your way down. I'm going to let Jeff be seated in this seat here. And this is how I felt led to do this. We're going to start the service. I'm going to pray with Jeff. Sherry is going to come over here and she's going to pray for Crystal. And I'm facing them at the altar because we want them to be facing the altar as we pray. And we're going to start the music with Jeff here. Be seated. Crystal, be seated. And The song is Make Me a Servant. I believe that's the title of it. But this is a part of the invitation. So this is what I'm inviting. I'm inviting all of our deacons, all ordained deacons, to come. Okay? So after I get through praying, Ganesh is going to be there, and then all the deacons, all ordained deacons, are going to come to pray for Jill. The deacons' wives are going to come over and pray for Crystal. Okay? After I get through praying for Jeff, I'm going to be standing here, and we're going to continue on in our invitation. You might want to just come here and pray. And you know what? I would welcome this. Maybe there's a man here that God's calling to be a deacon. The church has never selected you. You'd come today and say, Pastor, I believe God's calling me to this ministry. You share that with me, and I want to pray with you and encourage you in any way I can. Let's just be obedient. Church, when you, listen to me, this is the invitation. When you obey God, God not only blesses you, but everybody around you. Let's don't quench His Holy Spirit. If God's leading you to come, I'm going to be standing here, and my purpose for standing here is to invite you to come to Jesus today. You say, well, what do I need to do? Just walk this aisle. Take me by the hand and say, preacher, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ, and I will help you come to Christ today. This is God's invitation. Make me a servant, and then we're going to sing a song that's dear to my heart that I really believe God's going to use at this invitation. I want us to really just worship the Lord. Join us at this time. Let's be in a spirit of prayer. And then as the deacons get through, we've got, I believe, three ordained ministers here. We got Roy, we got Eric, and Josh. Is that right? So we got three guys. Josh is a friend of Jeff's. And I'm going to ask them to close it out in praying over Jeff. All right? So let's all stand to our feet. We're going to sing. The invitation is for you to come. And if you want to, after a little bit, you want to kneel there at your pew or kneel here at the altar, however God's leading you, you come. We extend this invitation. Maybe God's calling someone for service today. He's calling you into the ministry. You come. Deacons, you come now. All right? And deacons' wives.